Glad to be in camp meeting tonight. Say amen. Amen. Glad to be a citizen of the greatest country in all the world. Say amen. Amen. Even with all of her faults and failures, I still love the red, white, and blue. Thank you, Isbell family, for taking us into the heavenly realms tonight and sharing some patriotic songs as well. Well, thank you, Taylor County, for allowing me to come back and be part of the 85th celebration. I think most of you know my story. I'm a product of camp meeting. I still believe in camp meeting. I was saved in camp meeting, sanctified in camp meeting, called to preach in camp meeting. I even met my wife at a camp meeting, so you never know what might happen for you at camp meeting this week. I was a student at Circleville Bible College. I was telling the OCU team back here, back in the 80s, and one of my greatest heroes, friends, Dr. Doug Carter over here, was president of the school at that time. Most of you know he's from South Georgia, where the Potter's House girls come from in Alma. And I was an old West Virginia boy, and he said, God called you to preach, David Gallimore. But he said, I'm going to give you the next best advice. Go south and find a wife. And I ended up doing that. I came to a camp meeting. I actually came to Taylor County when I was in school, but one county over, Crawford County, Southeastern Holiness Camp. In fact, my in-laws are back here tonight, so I have to behave, Robert and Gail Cody over here. But I came to Georgia, ended up finding my wife. Now, Doug said when you go to Georgia to find a wife, you better make sure she's a Southern Belle, not a Dixie Ding-a-ling. And I got me a Southern Belle, and you'll meet Tammy. Those of you that haven't met her before, she'll be here later in the week. But just great to be with you and to celebrate. Get your Bibles, an Old Testament passage, and then a New Testament passage tonight. Let's start in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And the character I want us to focus on for a few moments is Caleb with a C instead of a K over here. But a lot of you know the story. But let's pick it up. Joshua chapter 14. And beginning at verse 10, so here I am today, Caleb said, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to do battle now as I was then. Now, give me this hill country, give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. And then I want you to go to the New Testament. And it's a very familiar story. Matthew chapter 16. And we pick it up at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'm going to speak to you tonight. Taylor County Camp, 85 years. Still going strong, and the best is yet to come. If you believe that, say amen. Heavenly Father, as we would get into your word tonight, I pray that one more time your word might come alive in this camp meeting tabernacle. And you have been so faithful down through the years. And tonight, Lord, we expect nothing less than for your presence to continue to just shine brightly in these services this week. Thank you for the beautiful spirit as we came on the campground today. This is holy ground. And God, I thank you for the spirit of worship in the house as we have given you praise, glory, and honor. And now I pray for just the next few moments that you would give me that divine anointing. And I pray that we would get the message that you have for us on this very special occasion. And we'll give you all the glory, the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone in agreement say, amen. Amen. I've enjoyed the trip down memory lane that we've had in here tonight. We'll look forward to it the rest of the week as we celebrate these 85 years. But I mentioned I came to Georgia right out of college. I took a senior pastorate when I was 22 years of age. And there's actually some people here tonight that were members of my church. And I've thought down through the years, God bless you. 22 years old, wasn't even married yet. And I had people coming to me for marriage counseling. I wasn't married. 22-year-old pastor, I had people coming asking for financial advice. I didn't have a dime. But God was faithful, and those people love me, and Roger and Joy Hensley are back here tonight. They were part of the church that I began my first pastorate in, and so I actually had the privilege back around 1986, 87, to get to know Brother M.J. Wood and his precious wife. Was able to break bread with them, was able to worship together with them, have him pray over me. And as I think of great leaders, M.J. Wood would be right at the top of that list. I think Doug told me 45 years he served as the president here at Taylor County Camp. And so as I was preparing for the camp, and especially the opening service tonight, I just got to thinking of visionary leaders. And I couldn't help but single out this story of Caleb. For one thing, he uses the term 85 years. And I just want you to recall with me a little bit about Caleb. Names are significant in the Bible. Much more than nowadays when we just kind of pick them out of thin air for our children and maybe try to find something that's unique or different. I think most of you know there are names in the Bible like Joshua that means the Lord is my salvation. David's name in the Hebrew means beloved. Abraham's name means father of many. We all grew up singing that song, Father Abraham. I'm one of his children, so are you. Caleb's name comes from the Hebrew word for dog. Now, what in the world is spiritual about a dog? How about this? Man's best friend? Faithful? Loyal? Bold? Brave? Wholehearted, how about dogged persistence? How many Georgia Bulldog fans in the house? Now again, Doug Carter, Winnie, and Marcia and Wayne back there, you won't appreciate this. But you know what I'm talking about. Come on, Bulldog fans. When a Georgia Bulldog hunkers down and clamps down his teeth on that bone, Caleb had a dogged persistence. He had a vision, and God was able to bless him over a period of 85 years. You know the story. The children of Israel are delivered. They go into the promised land, and they really should have been able to access that right off the bat at Kadesh Barnea. But as Moses sent out 12 men, one from each of the tribes, to spy out the land, 10 of those came back with a negative report. We can't do it. We're not strong enough. Now plug into this tonight. Every one of you, no doubt, are facing some issues in the days to come. There are mountains to be climbed. There are victories that need to be won. And there's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be doubters, even around the church. It pains me to say it, but I've seen in the pastorate down through the years someone that maybe struggles in their faith. And they come down to the altar again and again and again. Don't ever get frustrated with somebody that comes to the altar. I had an old preacher tell me years ago, boy, if you have to ride this altar rail to heaven, you ride it. So this week at camp meeting, don't be afraid of this altar. But I remember hearing somebody in the church, one of the saved, sanctified, petrified people, that, been there and done that. And they said about this person at the altar, well, wonder how long their religion will last this time. Probably not very long with that kind of support. It's very important that we rise above the doubters and the naysayers and the critics. Joshua and Caleb said, we see potential here. We believe that God has something better for us. So real quick, let me just give you four things about Caleb. And I hope you could plug these into your life, your journey, as we gather this week. Number one, Caleb carried out a purpose. Caleb carried out a purpose. He was not living life, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Well, maybe. Maybe with fingers crossed, something good is going to come my way. No, he was centered on a vision. He was determined. He was on a mission. So I ask you in here tonight, as you come to camp meeting this year, do you have purpose in your life? Are you looking for something bigger than what you are? Are you looking for something greater than anything you've ever experienced? I'll say this a time or two probably this week, but it's a quote that captured my heart many years ago. Think about it. As we're celebrating 85 years at Taylor County Camp, our dreams must be greater than our memories. Thank God for our heritage tonight. Thank God for those whose names have been called in here tonight. I couldn't imagine coming to this camp and not seeing Franklin McCants over here at this side of the tabernacle. Thank God for everyone whose shoulders we're standing on tonight. But I want you to get purpose this week. I want you to get a vision that goes beyond the reality that you're living in tonight. Caleb carried out a purpose. And then secondly, Caleb claimed a promise. Oh, praise God for people that are willing to stand on the promises of God and not be content just to sit on the premises of our churches. Caleb understood, if God be for us, who can be against us? God promised Caleb a mountain, and now he was laying claim to it. Now, this is important. I hope some of you will lay claim to some promises of God this week. I trust and pray that some of you will reach out by faith and grasp some of the precious promises of God. He's got a victory for you, your home, your family. Caleb shows us purpose. He claimed a promise. Thirdly, Caleb counted on a presence. Now, this is the presence of the Almighty we're talking about. This is not something I can do in and of myself. This is not something that with my gifts and my graces I can pull off. Caleb knew that without God, he was sunk. Now, he said, if God be with me. Now, the if there was not doubting. He knew God was with him. But the if was humility on his part. I don't want anybody to give me credit for this mountain quest. I don't want anybody else to be lifted up. Only the Holy One himself. And my prayer this week is again here at Taylor County Camp. As we've already said, these altars will be used this year. We will be ushered into the presence of God himself. Every one of these services, it's happened before. We're believing it's going to happen again as God meets with us this week. And then fourthly, Caleb conquered a possession. He had dreamed, he had envisioned the day when the mountain would be his. He knew that there was more. He knew there was something better. Can I tell you something in here tonight? From the youngest to the oldest, there's more. There's something better. There's a mountaintop experience that you can have this week as we press in and we lay claim to the promise of God. It's interesting, the mountain that Joshua ends up giving Caleb is Hebron. Second largest city in, oldest city in Israel, just a few miles south of Jerusalem, and really kind of in the area where even tonight the conflict is raging between Israel and Palestine. But God gave Caleb this mountain as a visionary, someone who saw something greater than he had experienced in the past. MJ Wood had that kind of vision for this camp meeting. And I just can't help but think that Brother Wood and Sister Wood are smiling down with favor upon this gathering as we come together and start the 85th encampment. Well, that's the old story. Let me bring it now to the new. And let's talk about you and I in the context of this camp meeting, 85 years, the church, the camp still stands. Why is that? Three things. Real quick, number one, the reason the camp continues to go forward, the reason the Church of Almighty God stands firm tonight is because our message is pure. Our message is pure. Jesus said on this rock, I will build my church. So the message is Jesus. Everything we do this week is centered on the Christ himself. Everything we do this week, turn your eyes with me upon Jesus. As the little chorus says, the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Whatever burdens you've brought in this year, whatever cares you've brought into the camp this year, get ready to let go of them. I promise you, God will have a word for you this year at camp meeting. As Peter began to confess the lordship of Jesus Christ, others were saying, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But Peter got a word from heaven. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus recognized that. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't give that to you. You didn't find that on the internet. Somebody didn't tell you that. the Heavenly Father opened up the windows of heaven and gave you that word. Come on, church, I believe somebody needs to hear from heaven this week. And you get ready to receive, because I promise there is nothing wrong with our message. The reason the camp has stood the test of time, the reason our church will continue to thrive going forward, is because our message is pure. The simple message of the gospel. We were all born in sin. None righteous. No, not one. Every one of us in need of a Savior. In our tradition, we believe in a second definite work of grace. Amen. The pure message of heart holiness, entire sanctification. I was telling some young people at a camp not too long ago, and I just was very matter of fact. I said, I don't want to mess up all your theology. It was a community gathering, people from all different walks of life and different denominational backgrounds. But I said, listen to me. The way that you are going to stay saved is you got to get sanctified. Amen. Well, I got a few more amens here than I got there that night. But a guy was telling me, and I prayed with him at the altar, and he said, Pastor, I love the Lord. And he said, I know I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he said, I've given my life to Jesus, but he said, I just keep messing up. And he said, I just keep falling into the same trap. And he said, I try, and I just can't do it. I said, well, man, thank you for your honesty. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. You are 100% correct. You can't do it. I told him a little story. See if you can follow this. It's pretty silly. About 20 years ago, I left the pastorate, answered a call of God into full-time evangelism. And Tammy and I based the ministry over around Lake Oconee. We built a house over there. And I was traveling every week, different church, camp, all across the country, even around the world, doing international ministry. We got the house built. It was my job to get the grass growing in the yard. And I did pretty good getting the grass started, but what I was really good at was growing weeds. And I'd be out preaching for 4 or 5 days. I'd come home, and man, the weeds just had overtaken the yard. And I'd get out there and sweat, and I'd pull weeds, and I'd hoe weeds, and I'd do everything I could. I mean, I'd wear myself out. I worked hard trying to get rid of those weeds. And next week, same thing had happened all over again. And I just kind of have to start over and pull weeds and sweat. And I was so frustrated. I said, I can't do this. And Tammy looked at me and she said, you need to call the weed man. I said, maybe we better not call it that, Tammy. But I knew what she meant. And I called one of these companies that came out and sprayed. And would you believe, the next week I came home and the yard was beautiful. And the weeds were gone. I promise you, if you've come to camp meeting frustrated this year, and you're tired of riding that roller coaster, and you're up and you're down, you're in, you're out, and you want everything that God has for you, but you can't do it in and of yourself, let go this week. And allow God the Holy Spirit to sanctify you through and through and cleanse that nature of sin. I promise you, you can get victory over sin. If anybody believes that, say amen in here tonight. You can live in victory over the evil one. Our message is pure. He's my Savior. He's my sanctifier. He's my keeper. He's my healer. Anybody ever experienced a healing touch before? Say amen. There's some of you this week, you need a healing touch. You need a breakthrough. You need a miracle. I promise you, our God is able. And there's a lot of false teaching out there on the market today. There's a lot of false prophets out there today. But I promise you, come to Taylor County Camp, the message is pure. And it will continue to meet every need that we have. I heard a guy not too long ago talking about if you have sickness in your life, that means there's sin in your life somewhere. That, my friends, is false teaching. Don't believe a word of that. My Bible actually says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us through the infirmity, through the sickness. That's the pure message of the gospel. Remember years ago, a little boy in the neighborhood, I'd play ball with him. He found out I had went to the University of Cincinnati on a baseball scholarship, and I'd play ball with the little guy. He was a beautiful little kid, 8, 9 years old. One night, walking home from the corner convenience store, a transfer truck hit that little boy, and he was instantly taken out into eternity. And I'll never forget at the funeral home, the little boy's daddy, a guy by the name of Donnie, and he kept just kind of petting the little boy's hand in the casket. They buried the little boy in his baseball uniform. And Donnie was just saying, "Goodbye, little buddy. Goodbye, little buddy. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it another day without you." And I was young in ministry, and I probably had never felt more inadequate than I did in that moment, but the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I was able to give comfort to my brother, and it wasn't some name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it message. It was the pure message of the gospel. When David lost a child, he prayed, he fasted. You realize you can't gimmick God. You can't trick God, maneuver God into doing what you want. We live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world that the Bible says is groaning. And I said to Donnie, David cried out, "I can't bring my boy back, but I know I can go to him one day." The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling you something about this pure message of the gospel tonight. It's not only good religion to live by, it's good religion to die by. And it'll take you from this realm into the glory to come. Our message is pure. That's why this camp has stood the test of time. That's why our churches stand the test of time. Now, secondly, let me give you a message. If we're going to continue in the days to come, to be effective, if we're going to be relevant, a lot of camp meetings have shut down. They've sold the properties. A lot of leadership has said it's not worth it anymore. Let me tell you something. The reason the camp will continue to thrive in the days to come is because our message stays pure. But number two, our methods must be progressive. Our methodology must be progressive. I remember back before my grandfather died, and he was a hero to me. And I'd grown up here, and especially around church, about the good old days. And how great it used to be. My old grandpa told me one day, he looked at me and he said, "Boy," he said, "those good old days, they weren't so good. They were hard." Well, let me tell you something. Things are a little different in 2024, aren't they? Compared to back when this camp meeting began. You saw the faces, the names up there a few moments ago on the screen. M.J. Wood, 45 years. Can you imagine? leading this great camp. Don Rawlings, I had the privilege of meeting Don and knowing him and Gene. Doug Carter and Miss Winnie over here. Again, just choice servants of God. Lee Christ and now Brother Wayne. Every one of them are different, aren't they? Aren't you glad we don't all have to be the same? In fact, just turn to your neighbor right now and say out loud to them, I thank God. I don't look like you. But now remember, they're saying it back to you. God didn't want us to be a bunch of clones and robots. But he uses our unique gifts and graces. And down through the years, the leadership has been so strong here. I was looking up on the platform, these chairs, they used to sit right over there. And that's where the president and all the evangelists would sit, right over there. And a few years back, I was preaching here and I wanted to do a visual sermon illustration. And I said, let me grab a couple of these chairs. You ever picked up these chairs? They're heavy, aren't they, Melvin? And man, that spoke to me. Yeah, they're heavy, but there were some heavy weights. Great leaders. Caleb, Joshua, Moses. When we talk about the leadership the camp has had, and yet they were all different. And each brought some innovation, and the message never changed. We've always got to be geared to the times, but anchored to the rock. That's the pure message of the gospel, but methodology has to change if we're going to still be relevant. Thank God for all these young people in here tonight. Thank God for air conditioning. And I've been around camp my whole life, and there's always a battle. You know, oh, we're going to lose the spirit. We're going to lose the glory if we enclose it. Aren't you glad God's still here? The presence of the Holy One himself is in the house. I got blessed over here tonight hearing Wi-Fi on the campus. Well, we don't need Wi-Fi, preacher. Let's not be like those spies that told Caleb and Joshua, no, we can't do it, and it's not going to be what we've been used to. The message never changes, but methodology has to change if we are going to be relevant. Now, there's some stuff that this camp has done so well down through the years. Again, youth, children, missions. I believe one of the big reasons that God's hand has been so favoring and blessing this camp meeting has been the emphasis on world missions. Amen? You can never outgive God. And from the children all the way to the oldest adults, focusing on that is something that is going to yield great benefit. The message is pure. Methods must be progressive. And then the last thing I'm going to share with you tonight, if the camp is going to continue to thrive in the days to come, and I want you to plug into this individually, your home, your family, your church. Message is pure. Methodology is progressive. But thirdly, our mandate is powerful. On this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell can't do anything about it. The gates of hell are closed. The gates of hell are shut down. Anybody know you can have victory in Jesus tonight? And you don't have to live a defeated life. You don't have to sin in word, thought, and deed every day. You can live in the abundance. Why? Because all power is given unto me, Jesus said. And when we experience conversion, old passes away, everything becomes new, and then we go on, we go deeper in our walk with God, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what Jesus says to us, I'm going to give you my power. Holy Spirit power. So you can overcome the temptation. So you can overcome Satan himself. As you trust in him with all of your heart. And you tap into the power source. I believe our dreams truly can be greater than our memories. I think at times we kind of settle in and we just kind of begin to wring our hands and say, well, maybe we've experienced the best. And now I'm just kind of on cruise control spiritually and I'll coast to the end. You don't have to do that. Sweeter as the days go by. You can live in abundance. I'm talking about spiritually. You can live in the fullness of Almighty God. Oh, you can give excuses again like those spies did to Caleb and Joshua. We don't have the money. I mean, it's always that around camp meetings and our churches, the holiness movement. We just don't have all the resources. Our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The taters in the hills, as old Uncle Buddy Robinson used to say. Every need he's going to supply if we just trust him. And you know what? It starts by using what we have. I was here on the campground 5 or 6 years ago preaching, and I was walking around one night trying to find cell service on my phone, and I came upon Doug and Winnie. And they were taking a little stroll back here. And I eavesdropped. And old Doug was waxing eloquent. And he said, oh, Miss Winnie, he said, I wish I had 1,000 tongues to say I love you. Oh, Miss Winnie, he said, I wish I had 1,000 arms to hold you. Oh, Miss Winnie, I wish I had 1,000 lips to kiss you. And then she interrupted him. She said, but Doug, you're not using what you have. Folks, when I look out across this tabernacle tonight, I see incredible potential. If we'll just take what we have right now and submit it to God, I want us to close the service in a few moments here by gathering around the altar. I can think of no better way to start this camp meeting. And as we gather around the altar one more time, let's offer ourselves afresh and anew to God and say, I want everything you have for me this week. I love the story of a group of people over in Birmingham, England, which is known as the second city of England, London, of course, being the first. But there was a thriving manufacturing company there that was in need of expansion. And adjacent to their property was a little Quaker meeting house. The Quakers don't call it a church, they call it a meeting house. And so the attorneys and the lawyers, the executives of this company called the Lewis Company, they drafted a letter and they sent it to the Quakers. Here's what it said. Dear Quakers, we are the Lewis Company, a growing, thriving manufacturing company that needs desperately to expand. We would like to purchase your property. And then in capital letters, exclamation points, name your price. Sign the Lewis Company. Well, a few days later, a reply came in the mail. And here's what it said. Dear Lewis Company, we are the Quakers. We have met on these grounds for over 200 years. And we have no intention of leaving. However, if it would help you, we would be willing to purchase your property. You can take the proceeds and relocate anywhere you would like. And then, capital letters, exclamation points, name your price. Signed, the Cadburys. Anybody ever had some Cadbury candy? The Cadburys are multi-billionaires. And they're also Quakers. So let me tell you something. If you're feeling a little left out tonight, maybe your dream, your mountain, your vision has not come to pass. Let me encourage you. It doesn't matter who is threatening you. What matters is who has the resources and the ability to back up their claim. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to a cross, and with the silver of his tears and the gold of his blood, he paid the price for everything you and I would ever need. If we'll just trust in him, paid in full. It is finished. This is my church. Heavenly Father, as we start another camp meeting, we've went down memory lane a little bit tonight. Thank you for visionaries like past presidents here, past board members, lay people. But Lord, there's a world that desperately needs Jesus in 2024. And as we look around our country and around the world, we'll hear more about it this week, the fields are ripe. God, I pray there'll be some people that answer, "Here am I, Lord, send me this week." I pray there'll be some people that press into you like never before this week and experience your presence. Again, I think the best way to start our camp, the opening night, let's just come from all over the tabernacle, spread around the altars here tonight, and let's just get a hold of heaven. Can we do that? Just stand. Everybody stand. Isabel's come up here and get ready to sing a song in just a moment. But would you just start coming right now to the altars? Just step out. Just gather in from side to side in here tonight. And you can kneel, you can stand, whatever posture you want to take. Use the front rows, even if it's just getting out into the aisle. If you can't get here, I think this demands a response tonight. Now, I just want you to begin agreeing in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful sight as we come together once again at Taylor County Camp. Only heaven can truly write the story of all the victories that have been won down through the years here. There are people that the trajectory of their life was changed at these altars. And Lord, we're praying it's going to happen again this year. So Father, I pray on this opening night of the camp that you would give us, Lord, some dreams, some visions. Yes, we're going to thank you all week long for our heritage. But Lord, I've had to learn down through the years, a great heritage can actually become a great hindrance if we're not wide open to what your Spirit's wanting to do right now in our lives. So Lord, we thank you for where we come from. We thank you for where we are tonight, but we're more excited about where we're going than anything else tonight. So I pray that you would just fill men, women, young people in here tonight, from the top of their heads to the sole of their feet, with your Spirit, with the pure message of the gospel. I pray that we would claim some precious promises in here tonight. I pray that you would stretch us this week. Get us out of our proverbial comfort zone. I pray, Lord, that we will be wide open, we'll be hungry. And Lord, we're going to hear a word from Dr. Schaefer. I pray from the missionaries in every setting where we come together, where the children meet, where the youth meet, I pray that you would open the windows of heaven and let the glory fall. And God, as you revive your people again, as you renew your people again, I pray that you'll send us out of here. Lord, not just overfed, not just stuffed, but Lord, that we're going to be willing to be the pipeline through which your spirit flows. And we're going to see family members get saved. We're going to see, Lord, friends that are addicted and are bound by sin set free. So God, do something so incredible here this week that it shows up next week and the next week. And that, Lord, we're going to have a great harvest. As we plant, as we sow, as we water, as we cultivate, may you give great increase. We pray this in your strong name. Everyone in agreement say, amen. Amen. Do you have a song we can sing?